Truth or Dare with Sophie. Because if you want something you never had, you have to do or say something you have never done or said. Join us for an hour of fun, fresh perspectives on life in the 21st century, where kids, business, texting, and working out all need to happen at once.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is Sophie Mihalko, and welcome to Truth or Dare with Sophie. Today, I have a fabulous guest, of course, because that's what we do here. We bring you fabulous people, and she is from far away from me. She's from New Zealand. Her name is Michelle Edhouse, and Michelle is an author, entrepreneur, and consciousness facilitator. How does it get any better than that? Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Sophie. Thanks so much for having me on.
How are you?
I am awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's 6 a.m. here in New Zealand. The fire is lit and I am so excited to be here.
That's Yay. Awesome. So is it winter over there?
It is. It is. We basically have the opposite seasons to you guys. So yeah, we've had snow this week. Not so much here where I live, but just up on the hills we've had snow, which happens probably once every 10 years. So yeah.
That's awesome. It's so funny to me how years ago, maybe a couple of years ago, it would have been challenging to imagine being in the same place than somebody who's on the other side of the world and having a live conversation like this and then allowing hundreds and hundreds of people to listen to us live. Isn't that cool?
It's so, so cool. I love technology. It's one of my favorite things.
And it's funny because we're going to be geeking out a little bit today since both Michelle and I are big technology fans. Right, Michelle?
Absolutely.
So, and also, today we're going to talk about your new book that you're about to launch in a few days. Is that right? When is it launching?
6th of September, so it's still 25 days to go, but yeah, it's countdown is on and everyone's gearing up for the launch, which is really exciting.
So the name of your book is called Unlocking Unhappiness, am I right?
Unlocking Unhappy.
Unhappy, Unlocking Unhappy. And yeah. Can you tell us briefly what it's about?
Yeah, it's really is a small handbook that people can use, full of tools that I've used personally to get me out of being unhappy. I woke up one morning and realized that, hey, this was not cool. This was not fun anymore. And yes, being unhappy can be fun. I demanded of myself to change it, and really the book is the story of me using these tools to unlock everywhere I had locked unhappy as my reality. Uh-huh. And throwing open the doors to having happiness as being a choice. And so it's not really to say that I don't have unhappy moments anymore, but it's now not a place I live, which is really, really cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So can I ask you first, why do people be unhappy? Why is it that sometimes we wake up and we're like, okay, I'm so depressed, I don't even want to get out of bed? What do you feel?
Obviously there are a number of different reasons, but one of the biggest reasons for many people on the planet is that's what they know. That's what they've been brought up with. You know, we're psychic little sponge bobs when we come in and we look around and go, how do we do life on this planet?
Yeah.
And we look at mum and dad and we look at brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles and grandmas, and as we start to grow, teachers and shopkeepers, and how much happiness do you see on the planet?
Not a lot.
Exactly. So we come in going, hey, how's life? Oh, what do I do here? How's life? Oh, okay. Life is like this here. Oh, And if I'd be happy people tell me to slow down and shut up and not be quite so much. Okay, okay, okay. And eventually, by the time you're a teenager and beyond, I mean, even going through teenagehood, that's the expected result. You're sad and unhappy and you don't talk to anyone and you're grumpy and you don't say much. And that's the expected of being a teenager. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Stupid okay. question, but yeah.
No, I love that because it's not, you're right. If a lot of times as a child, we just look around and we'll be like, okay, well, let's look at what adults do. And then we see that adults don't do happy very much. And so we're like, okay, so maybe that's the way to live. And then we just do that. That makes total sense to me, total sense. So let's say now somebody's finally being, okay, there's gotta be another way of being in the world. How do I change this? How do I get up happy in the morning? And I know for myself that it often took an external reason. So like deciding that I was happy because I was in a relationship or because I had money or because I had a good job. So it often took something external, but it actually was not really happy. It was kind of fictitious and made up. So what do you tell people who are like, I just want to wake up happy. How do I do that? Sorry.
Well, you know, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here, who founder and co-creator of Access Consciousness, ran a class a couple of years ago now, and they titled it Happiness is Just a Choice.
Yeah.
And it was one of the least attended classes that they had done in a couple of decades.
Yeah.
And it's like, what if happiness actually is a choice? What if when you wake up in the morning, you go, huh, hello, universe. What grand and glorious adventures can I have today? What am I choosing? Am I choosing to be happy or am I choosing to be sad? Or am I choosing just to blob and be whatever the universe looks like around me?
Uh-huh.
So waking up happy actually is a choice. And so the tools in the book do take you through all those places and that can keep you from being happy.
Uh-huh.
And that gives you the tools that when you do wake up unhappy, you can change it. So it is just a choice. And it's that's something that I didn't used to think was true. In fact, I was not one of the people that went live to the class. I watched the class on a recorded version afterwards. So my question to you is, do you actually desire to be happy? And if so, are you willing to choose it? Are you willing to be so dynamically different to the rest of the people around you that you actually show up as happy?
Can I tell you a funny story about this? Because
yes.
I tend to be a happy person in general, but when I go to public gatherings like parties and things like that, and I'm being my usual happy, do you know how many people ask me if I'm drunk or high? It's so funny. And I'm actually very rarely, well, I don't do drugs, but I'm very rarely drunk in public because I don't like to be drunk in public. So usually the answer is no. But everybody asks me because I act so happy and they can't imagine that I would be that happy without being drunk or high. And it was
absolutely,
it was so funny to me. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not drunk. Yes, you are. No.
Well, as a teenager, I'd go to parties and I'd just go with a bottle of Coke with no alcohol in it. And people would try and take my keys off me because I was too drunk to drive. I'm like, I haven't been drinking. Call the cops. Get me breath tested. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And nobody could. And that's as a teenager. I mean, this stuff starts really, really young, of the expectations of how much happiness is allowed on the planet and how much happiness somebody can be without it being brought on by drugs and alcohol. And it's like, what would it take for that to change? What would it take for sadness to be the thing that people go, wow, that's different?
Yeah. And so, okay, so what if happiness was a virus? What if we actually could spread the virus of happiness all throughout the world? And if we wanted to spread the virus of happiness, what channels would we use to spread that virus as quickly as possible? So how about we start with the show and we say, okay, let's see how fast we can spread happiness with this show today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then with your book. And what else is possible? What else? How can we spread happiness all over the world as fast as possible? That's my dare. Everybody who's listening, so this is a dare for today, is how fast can you spread happiness all around you? And how big, how much happiness and how fast? Cool. I like it.
I do too. And, you know, one of my favorite things to see on Facebook is videos where it's that whole pass on a smile. And, you know, somebody's walking down the road and they smile at someone. And that person just, and I do it all the time myself, but I love sharing videos of this as well because it's like passing on that smile. And people come, someone's walking towards you down the street and you smile at them and they look at you and they just go, oh, wow, smile. And they smile back. And while they're still smiling, they happen to glance at someone else who catches that smile too. And I'm sure most of your listeners have experienced that. Somebody smiled at them and they've smiled back, and it's just, mm-hmm. it has become that virus of happiness.
Yeah.
So, you know, would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to, anybody you come across today, just smile at them and see what magic we can create today?
And for all the rebels out there, please do not do it. Don't do it. I forbid you to do it. Don't smile. Sorry, I have to do that because people are like, don't tell me what to do, woman. I know it. So don't smile. Okay, so I was wondering, Michelle, if you have ever done some kind of, well, if you ever been aware of what choosing happiness creates for the body.
For the body. Absolutely. The body doesn't enjoy being sad. Mm. Well, mine definitely doesn't. My body loves to be happy. Like if I'm sitting around moping, my body just starts to feel like sludge. And if any of you are feeling a little bit sludgy right now, pop a smile on your face, see what changes. And there is scientific proof that the actual physicality of moving your muscles into a smile sets off a chemical chain reaction that releases the endorphins and things that that makes you feel happier. Like that whole saying of smile till you feel happy actually is scientifically proven to be true.
Right.
And some of us actually have to smile for a really long time before those endorphins actually get to the places they need to go. Because it's been such a long time and there's cobwebs in the way. Yet it is actually something the body absolutely adores to be, is happy. And in fact, being happy can unlock all those places of dis-ease, and I say it with a hyphen in the middle, dis-ease in the body. It starts to allow the energies to flow into those places that for whatever reason there is a blockage, there is a dis-ease, and that energy of happiness can just literally heal a body. You may not completely cure cancer overnight by smiling for a day, but it definitely will start to change it. It will start to, the immune system starts to work in a more efficient way.
Right.
It's phenomenal. And you know, I'm not just talking out of a hole in the top of my head. This is stuff that scientists and medical people have actually got documented proof of, which is kind of bizarre. Like, you know, I'm normally considered woo-woo, but this stuff actually works. This is stuff that science has proven that the body loves to be happy.
Yeah.
The body would prefer to be happy, and living in a place of upset and trauma and drama is actually a method of killing your body. So what if living to 100 and beyond actually was just about being happy? What gift could you be to your body today by being happy?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So as you were talking, I had lots of questions for you. And of course, okay, now I have one. All right. So one of the things that I've noticed people do that they choose to have in their life to make, well, to be happy, but then often turns it into something that is not happy is relationships. So people will find somebody, meet somebody, you know, they're like, oh, I'm happy with that person, so I'm going to be in a relationship with that person. And then they get into the relationship and suddenly it's like, oh, well, because of this, I can't be happy. Because of that, I can't be happy. So what would you say to somebody who uses this kind of reasoning?
Well, that is, as you were saying before, is using external forces to give you a reason and justification to not be happy.
Right.
And as I said earlier, happiness is a choice. What if you could be happy even if the saddest thing on the planet happened to you?
Oh, I like that. Cool.
What if you could be choosing to be happy no matter what? And then when something like your boyfriend breaks up with you, or your house burns down, or whatever, you can actually go, wow, what else is possible now?
Yeah.
Instead of being in, see, this is just even more proof why I am bad, terrible, wrong, horrible, my life is crap. It's like, ha, huh, my house burnt down. Cool. What new house could I have? Wow, the insurance company is going to give me new furniture. How does it get so lucky? You know, boyfriend dumps you. Okay, cool. How does it get any better than this? Who else can show up? Who else would be even more fun to play with? So being in that space of happy allows you to choose greater in your life, whereas choosing to allow things to affect you and you be at the effect of other people and other things actually takes you out of being in choice, out of being being able to create your life. So one of the questions that I absolutely love to ask is, what have you made so vital, valuable, and real about being sad, unhappy, and depressed that keeps you from creating the life of ease, joy, and glory you truly like to live?
Ooh, baby.
And everything that doesn't allow that, will you destroy and uncreate it all?
Yes.
Awesome. Now, Sophie, do we wave our magic wand on this show?
Sometimes it feels good sometimes. Now. Yeah, go
it
ahead.
Feels good. Yeah. Cool. So right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine boys shorts and beyonds. And for those of you that haven't heard that weird and wacky set of words that I just said is my magic wand and a lot of other people on the planet's magic wand, because it's the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. And if you want to know more about it, you can check it out at theclearingstatement.com. But really, it's that magic wand that gathers up all the yucky stuff that comes up when you ask a question like the one I just asked, and magics it out of existence, gives it back to be able to be creative rather than destroying your life. So.
Right. And even before you use the magic wand, I also wanted to remind people who may have not heard this before that when we ask questions, because Michelle suggested to ask a whole lot of questions, and when we ask questions, we actually become what it is we're asking for. And so if we say, how does it get any better than this? Now we're becoming the energy of something better can show up. So that's why Michelle is suggesting that we ask all these questions, especially like, what else is possible? How did it get embedded in this? And how did I get so lucky for something like that to show up? Then suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, I'm lucky. Oh wow, something better can show up. Oh wow, there's something else possible. And you don't have to convince yourself, because now you're opening up to the universe, showing you that energy, showing you those possibilities. So to me, that's absolutely perfect. And it's like, oh my gosh, getting out of my head and just asking that question makes it all better.
And I'd like to invite everyone that's listening to actually have a look at, as Sophie was going through those questions, what changed in your world? Did you start getting heavy and upset and crappy, or did you start to actually sense a lightness showing up, possibilities that weren't there before showing up, even maybe, heaven forbid, a smile on your face?
Yeah.
And that is what's possible with these questions. If you're willing to ask them, they do create such a sense of ease and lightness. And, you know, what if living in a space of light and ease is actually possible, is actually what the target of life is to have fun, yes, to have that space of yummy ease rather than the heavy trauma and drama that goes on in all the soap operas and all the telenovelas and things that are out there. What else is possible?
And let's do a little lesson in English language, because when we use the word ease, we actually are not saying that things are easy. We're saying that no matter what shows up, you will have ease with it or in changing it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. So
yeah, and it's interesting. You know, my father passed away nearly 4 years ago, and during the whole, like, it was a sudden drop dead on the other side of the world kind of deal, and the amount of ease I had with his death was phenomenal. And it was because I had these tools and I was using these questions and asking things like, what's right about this I'm not getting, and how does it get any better than this? And I was able to function, quote unquote, normally. In fact, my chiropractor said that she'd never seen my body in such a space of ease as 2 days after my dad died. You know, I was just about to fly to England to collect his body, and all of, you know, what could have actually shut my body right down, created grey hair and all sorts of things, my body was at more peace and more ease than she'd ever seen it before.
Yeah.
So what if that actually was possible? And I'm not saying I was happy about my dad dying. It was one of, you know, it was definitely never something I desired to happen. You know, if he was still alive long after me, I would have been very happy.
Yeah.
And I'm also very happy that I was able to have that much ease. And so what if, going back to that question you asked before about, you know, I can't be happy because.
Yeah.
What if we flipped it on its head? What if it was, I'm happy because for everything that shows up? Instead of, I can't be happy because.
Oh, I like that a lot, girl.
I'm happy because my cat died. What? How weird are you? Well, you know, she was old and her body was falling apart. So cool, you know, she's no longer in pain and I can have a new kitten. Maybe not. I'm not choosing that. But, you know,
yeah.
It's like, what if you could be happy no matter what? And that could, yeah. No matter what showed up in your life, you could have ease with that.
Yeah. What if you could be happy while crying?
Absolutely.
I actually teach this concept of pity parties where I say because if you're resisting something, then you will never be able to move past it. So instead of resisting it, I say, why don't you just enjoy being pathetic, awful, down, depressed, and just have a pity party? And people yeah. will like that because it brings down every point of view you have about, you know, you're not supposed to be upset and all of that. And then you just enjoy it. Have fun.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting when you have people look at that possibility that they could actually enjoy the trauma and drama that they're choosing in that 10 seconds. And suddenly the heaviness of the world that has people stay stuck in that, oh no, it's so bad, terrible, wrong and hard, gets lifted off. And they actually can start to play with that sense of, huh, yeah, I am doing trauma and drama. And there is another possibility. And right now I'm not choosing it. I'm choosing to have trauma and drama. And it's so much fun to know that you have a choice.
Exactly. Exactly. So guess what, Michelle? We have a caller. So let's bring Vanessa from California. And Vanessa, hi.
Hi, Sophie.
How are you?
Is this Michelle? I'm
yeah,
okay.
Hi. How are you?
Good. By the time I listened to what you guys were saying after being on the line, I'm like, okay, wow, you just answered a ton of my questions and completely shifted everything for me. I mean, wow.
So it's impressive.
It's kind of tripping me out, the kind of work that that is happening here. Uh-huh. I mean, I've been searching, and every time I come around this kind of work where I can look at possibility, ask questions, you know, POC and POD stuff, it's like it actually works. It's kind of freaking me out.
I know what you mean. I've been teaching these classes for 7 years now, and if you'd said to me that I would do anything for 7 years, I would have been gobsmacked. But this stuff does work, and that's why I'm still here teaching these classes and having written this book, because it changes stuff.
Yeah.
And just being willing to ask a question or look at something from a different angle, you know, have your point of view as an interesting point of view, it does just changes. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So what else is possible for you, Vanessa? What else, what would you like to change?
Well, I'd like to change the fear that I've attached to my situation with my relationship.
What kind of fear?
Well, I'm just afraid that, like, I'm, you know, trying to decide, am I filing for separation or am I staying, and the process, everything's showing me not to stay, but I'm don't know, you know, I feel like stuck. And so that's where I'm like, okay, well, I need to go get support, I need this and that, but it's like the only thing that helps give me any relief or any sense of space is when I'm like, okay, well, I have to change my perspective on this. Like, what if it doesn't have to be hard? What if I don't have to struggle so gnarly, like the court saying or the law saying or the, you know, people's histories has proven. It's like, you know, I don't know. I'm just at that point where it's just like, I give up with trying to be like, I can't keep doing the cycle, but I am so freaked out that I haven't moved forward. But now it's like, I can't even deal with the fear of moving forward. I just have to like kind of do something. And I don't know what's about to happen, but I mean, what's good about that?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Vanessa?
Mm-hmm.
So all of this that you've just described, who does it belong to? Is it yours, someone else's, or something else's? Now, just look at the, which one's lighter, which one's more expensive. Don't try and think about it.
Okay.
Yours, someone else's, okay. Or something else's.
So, okay, can you ask me that again then?
So, all of that you just described, who does it belong to? Yours, someone else's, or something else's?
Well, I've been made to believe it's mine. But I don't think it is, because I can't seem to change it.
Aha, that is the key point. You can't actually change something that's not yours. So everywhere you bought what occurs when you're going through a breakup or when you're having problems in a relationship and what occurs, how you should feel, what you should think, what needs to happen, what's going to happen when that happens, would you destroy and uncreate everywhere you bought that as yours? And return it all to sender with consciousness attached, please.
Okay.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine, boys, shorts and beyonds. Now, just for other listeners, have you come across this tool before, Vanessa?
What's that?
Have you come across the Who Does It Belong To tool before?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just so other listeners who may not have come across it, just fill them in what we're doing here. So, as I said at the beginning of the call, we are such psychic SpongeBobs, and there are so many points of view out there bombarding us, whether it's from the media, whether it's from the people around us. But we take on other people's points of view when they're not actually ours to begin with. And when we're trying to create a change with something, if we are choosing to function from those points of view that belong to other people, we can't actually change them. They're somebody else's wall. So when we ask to destroy and uncreate everywhere we bought them as ours, it's unlocking us from that place of no choice and asking for that space to recognize, oh, this isn't mine. Okay, cool. And then you return it to sender with consciousness. So you're sending it back to the person that you bought it from. It's like taking it back to the shop and asking for a refund. And
yeah.
So, but by adding that consciousness, by returning it to them, you're not saying, here, have your yucky stuff back and you can sit in it. You're saying, here, have your yucky stuff back and the awareness and consciousness of what is creating it and what else is possible and how you could change it. Now, cognitively, you don't need to think of a way to change it or any of that information. You just ask for it to be returned to sender with consciousness, and the consciousness will show up for them. And that may look, how they can change it may be completely different to how you can change it. But it's, so when we did that process, did it create more lightness or more heaviness for you, Vanessa?
Definitely more lightness.
Cool. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. I mean, so much more lightness. Like, okay, just so much, you know, so much more lightness and so much more like, I don't have to keep beating myself up over this. It's not mine.
No. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And Vanessa, can I Can I also ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to choose for you no matter what?
I haven't been, no. I am now, yes.
Would you be willing to do it now?
I'm willing to now, yes.
Awesome. Because sometimes what I've noticed is like we don't choose something because we assume that it's going to create problems or there's going to be something. We go to a conclusion and then we choose it and then something totally different shows up. So What if you just chose?
I guess it is just a choice.
It is just a choice. Like she said, like Michelle said earlier, happiness is also just a choice.
And one of the questions you could ask is, what energy, space, and consciousness can my body and I be to have ease and clarity with this for all eternity? And if you were to ask that when any of the sticky yuckiness shows up, then it can allow you to also be aware of when it's not yours and choose something different and that you have choice.
Yes, me likey. Choice is good.
Choice is that's good. Really good. That does create a lot of ease and space.
Yeah.
Yay.
And Vanessa has small children, right, Vanessa?
What's that? I'm sorry, the phone keeps breaking up. I'm having a hard time hearing you guys. But
do you have small kids?
Yes, I have a 3 and 6-year-old.
Okay, so are they willing to just like choose and be happy no matter what shows up?
Usually, yes. Recently, you know, I see that's kind of getting a little bit challenging, but that's definitely not theirs. That's either mine or, you know, my husband. They'll just be happy.
Yeah, I would ask also that you ask your body to connect with their body and see what their body knows about being happy.
Oh, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because little kids are
then they have a whole lot to contribute to me on that, just that one little thing. Like, that's incredible how they're just waiting, like, Mom, hello.
Yay. Wow. I love that. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Thank you for being you and being willing to ask those questions.
Wow. Well, thank you guys, seriously, for being that messenger and just that space that I needed. Like now, I mean, I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
And thank you for asking the question. Thank you for being willing to make the call and ask. How does it get any better than this?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy
Thanks,
this.
Vanessa.
I appreciate it.
Have fun. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Oh, Michelle, how cool is this? We get to talk about happiness and we get to talk about bodies. And oh, this is the kind of conversation I want to have every single day.
just observing others choosing something different and being able to gift them the tools that can create that change just makes every molecule of my body and being sing with happiness. It's something that I absolutely adore to do, is to facilitate that different possibility for people, whether it's on a one-on-one session like that with Vanessa or whether it's in a group scenario. However that be, it just my whole body just gets so happy.
I know.
Don't anybody choose that. Don't anybody be willing to have a little bit more joy and fun in their lives by choosing to do the things that creates that. I mean, everyone, if you're willing to actually acknowledge what you're creating and what shows up in your life, everybody would know something that creates that yumminess. And it may be, you know, 1,000 years ago that you actually remember it being a choice. But as you said, Sophie, tap into the little kids around you. Observe the joy and absolute pleasure that they get from making mud pies and coming in covered totally head to foot in mud. Tap into the joy they get from just running, from moving their bodies, from eating spaghetti and making a mess. Like, what is it that's fun for you? What is it that your body enjoys, that your being enjoys? It may be snuggling on the couch with a good book in front of a roaring fire. It may be dancing. It may be a billion different things. I'm not going to try and list ideas and options for you. You know, dancing and painting and being creative are some of the things that just bring me and my body so much joy. So what is it for you? Are you willing to tap into those things and then take that energy into everything else that you choose to be? And that's one of the things that I've been playing with recently, is taking the energy of happy into other things that normally I would think, oh, God, I have to do the dishes, and, oh, God, I've got to clean up after the kids. And it's like, huh, how can I add happy to this? What if I was to add some joy into this? And, you know, it could be turning on some music while you're doing the dishes or whatever it may be. But are you willing to ask, how can I add happy to this? Make That's happy awesome. Secret ingredients.
That's awesome. So, Michelle, the show is called Truth or Dare. So do you mind if I ask you a truth question?
Absolutely.
So truth, what makes you the most happy?
Oh, wow. I would have to say being me.
Yes.
You know, I could list, as I just did, I can list off a list of things that when I do those things, I do experience more happiness. But when I do those things, I'm being me. And it's those are the areas where I'm most willing to be me. I'm most willing to not allow other people's points of view to affect me and just choose for me, choose to create whatever I'm creating as me, rather than trying to be mum's daughter or my son's mother or the worldwide author, or like when I'm being me, I can be happy doing whatever I'm doing.
Yes. So being you is not necessarily doing something specific, but it's just being the expansion, the energy, the quality, the creativity that you be all the time. Am I right?
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. And it is, it's not a doing, it's a being.
It's a being, yeah.
Yeah.
So for those of you who want to know more, a little bit more about being and what being you is like, there is Dr. Den here, who is one of the teachers that Michelle and I have followed. Dr. Den here has written a book called Being You, Changing the World, and you can find it at the accessconsciousness.com shop or on Amazon if you would like the Kindle version. And it's also an audiobook if you prefer audiobooks. So we strongly both recommend this book. But also, I have a website called Being We, and we is OUI, beingwe.com, which basically in French means being yes. And you get a daily tool every day. You get webinars to help and support you in being you no matter what. Now, Michelle, what would you like to our listeners to know about you? Like, how do they find you? What is it that you are offering, about your book, anything like that?
Absolutely. So, as I said at the beginning, my book comes out at the beginning of September. And what I have set up is a landing page, a page where you can register to receive a discount code for launch day. So at the moment, it's at accessu.co.nz/unlockingunhappy. And in the next 24 hours, it will be at unlockingunhappy.com.
Cool.
And so on that page, you can just plug in your name and email address. And on launch day, we will send out to you a discount code. So it will drop the price down from $2.99 down to only 99 cents.
Nice.
And for all those wonderful people that choose to buy on launch day and to get one of those discount codes, we're going to be holding a hangout. So it's going to, so if you register on that page, you'll also get the details of that when you get your launch code. The launch code won't be sent out until launch day. So you'll get an email reminding you that it's launch day so that you don't have to remember for the next 25 days. And so you'll get your launch code and also the link to join us on the Hangout and ask questions and stuff. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners about unlocking unhappy or just choosing more happiness? Is there anything else you'd like to suggest?
So one, one of the energies that's coming up right now is an awareness of people not quite believing it's possible.
Yeah.
That sense of, yes, that may be possible for her, but it's not possible for me. Or, yeah, no, happiness isn't actually real. It's just something that you get when you go and do some retail therapy. So what I'd like to invite you to do is to tap into that energy of it's not possible. And to ask that question I asked Vanessa, who does it belong to? Is it yours or someone else's? And whatever, whichever one feels lighter, more expansive, more possible, that's the response for you. And it may be different for everyone, but you also may have bought it as real and true. So would you be willing to just tap into the energy of happy from somewhere where you've observed it, whether it be the energy of happy that Sophie and I be right now, whether it be the energy of happy of kids that are playing with total abandon, wherever that energy of happy exists that you're aware of, would you be willing to tap into it?
Yes.
And just by being willing to tap into it, you actually be it. And it may have just been for a microsecond just then, but you can actually expand that microsecond and make it even more. And it can actually, each time you go, okay, I'm going to tap into the energy of happy. And that is choosing to be happy in that microsecond. And what if you were to add more and more of those microseconds together and choose it more and more often? And if you come across yourself going, oh, I'm so unhappy. See, this stuff she's talking about, it doesn't work. It's not true. Stop. Huh. Tap into the energy of happy. Huh. Oh, look. There's my microsecond again. It is possible. And what else is possible? So I gave you lots of tools in that bit. Can people get a recording of this or listen to this again?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
So in about 24 hours, there will be a recording available both on the radio website, but also on iTunes. So If you look up Truth or Dare with Sophie on iTunes, you will get all the past episodes.
Awesome.
It's really cool. I listen to Gary and Dane on Voice America from my podcast app, and I can get my own shows on my podcast app. So I love that. I love that I get both of them.
Awesome. So, yeah, tap into that energy of happy. And when you choose, I'm going to tap into that energy of happy, you're actually choosing to be happy for that microsecond. And then you can choose again. Am I choosing to be happy now? Or am I choosing not? Okay, cool. And what if every choice was only good for a maximum of 10 seconds? And then you can choose again.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Michelle, so much. And I also wanted to tell people, if maybe choosing happy seems to be too far out for you, maybe just acknowledge that you've been choosing unhappy. Could be also a wonderful first step. Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Michelle, thank you so, so very much for being on the show. I hope you had as much fun as I had.
I sure did. I had a lot of fun, and I'm very, very grateful for you inviting me to come and play with you on your radio show. It was very cool.
Yay! Thank you, thank you. And I shall all see you in 2 weeks with another fabulous guest. And thank you all so much for listening. Remember to do the dare and be the virus of happiness. I adore you. Mwah! And we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the BARS. The BARS is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?